you don't have your Bibles. But in Acts chapter number 17, the preacher named Paul was coming to a city called Thessalonica. Now, Paul was a preacher just like pastors that we have today. He would go to cities and he would start churches. And look up here. He wouldn't just start churches by going and buying a building and then getting a bunch of chairs and hymn books and making sure the nursery was clean. He wouldn't start churches that way necessarily, but here's what he would do. He would walk into a city, and then he would stand up and he would preach, and he would say, "Thus saith the Lord." And whenever he preached, he would open up the scriptures, whatever scriptures he had at that time, didn't have the whole Bible, in fact, because he wrote a lot of it, but he opened up the Bible and he would preach, and then people would get saved, and people would come to him, and then churches were started. Churches were started. He was a lot like Pastor Rich. Is Pastor Rich in here? Yes. How many of you in here love Pastor Rich? Oh, you better raise your hand. Yes, okay. I love Pastor Rich, and he's not even my pastor. Listen, I love my pastor. I love pastors in general, but listen, if you have a pastor, you should love your pastor. Pastors deserve their own parking spot. Amen. There's no names going on. Not. If you think your pastor deserves his own parking spot, say name. Okay. We got a lot of work to do tonight. Who said Nemo? That's men. Oh, men. Okay, anyways. Pastors are amazing people. I mean, whenever you see your pastor on Sunday, you ought to go up to him and say, "Pastor, I bought you a stick of gum because I love you." Now, don't be creepy. Don't be weird. But you should love your pastor. Whenever your pastor stands up and he preaches the Word of God, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing gift. But, ironically, in Acts chapter number 17, that's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. In fact, I'm going to need a couple people to illustrate this. So I need somebody to be Paul. Gio, you're a good Paul. Come up here. Okay, so what would happen is Paul, we're going to have to move very quickly. Paul is up here and he's preaching. And he's preaching the Word of God. Now, how do you preach? Go like that, okay? Now, you have to have a little more energy because you're Pastor Paul. You're pastoring. You're preaching, all right? Keep preaching. And as Paul was preaching, the Bible says, okay, now you have to listen very carefully. Paul, as his manner was, went to the Sabbath, and he opened up the Scriptures, and he preached, and it says a great multitude of people came to him. And so we have a great multitude. We have Greeks. I need a couple people, you three right here. You guys are going to be Greeks. Come on up. And then we have Jews. So you guys are over here and you're listening to Paul. No. You're over here. Come on. You're over here and you're listening to Paul. And then we have a couple of Jews. So you're a Jew. Come on up. You're a Jew. Come on up. And you're a Jew. Everyone come up here. We have a couple of people that are Jews. And they're listening to Paul. And they're all getting saved. And then If you have the big words on the screen. What's the verse? I think it's verse number 5. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. No, verse number 4. Look at verse number 4, the very end of verse number 4. A great multitude, and of the chief women. Chief women? Women can be chief? Yes, this was a pagan society. So there were chief women. There were women who were in control. No, I'm just kidding. But there were women who were in charge. You know what I'm talking about. So I need some women that are in charge. Brighton, are you in charge? She's so in charge tonight, I'm going to raise her hand. Okay, you're a chief woman. Chief woman. Chief women, come up here. All right, so everyone look up here. This is your pastor. This is Pastor Paul. He's preaching. And as he's preaching, all this whole group of people, that we have some that are Jews, some that are chief women, they're women that are in charge in that day, and we also have a bunch of Greeks, and they're all sitting here, and they're getting saved. Now, as you sit here and you look at this, you say, wow, that's a big group of people. That's a big variety of people right there. I need two. I don't have a bunch of people up here. I still need two more guys. Two more guys. You and Miss Jamie, the guy next to you. The Bible says that not everybody, believe it or not, you guys come over here. Not everybody was, no, you guys are still listening to Paul. It's like herding cats. The two guys I just called. So as they're all looking at Paul and focusing on Paul preaching, the Jews, the chief men of the Jews, were looking at this and they were like, oh, look at all those people. We've been here for years and years and years, and Paul just walks into town. Good job, Joe. Keep preaching. Paul just walks into town, and he's preaching, and all these people are getting saved? Okay, so if you're a Jew and you're in charge, you're really mad whenever you're seeing this, because it's like all your money's going over there. All your support, all the fame, all the glory is now on Paul. All right? So what did they do? The Bible says that the Jews chose men who were lewd fellows. How many guys have called your brothers lewd? Nobody? We don't really use that word. Lewd means that they were dumb. They weren't the greatest guys in society. So I need some lewd fellows. Some of the girls even raised their hand. For some of the guys, I'll have you and you. That's it. I only need two. Oh, but then it also says in verse number 6. No, it was right there. I'll go back. Sorry. I like the big words on the screen. It's like words from heaven. Certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. Of the baser sort. What does that mean, Brother AJ? They sang base? No. Actually, the word baser means that they hung around the marketplace. They were the guys that were just hanging outside of Walmart. Do you ever want to just go up and give those guys a big old hug? No. Not really. They're of the baser sort. So I just need one more guy. Come up here. We have guys of the baser sort. Now listen, here's what's going on. I need all five of you to come up. As Paul's preaching, as people are over here and getting saved, as people are focusing on Paul, they decide to throw the entire city into an uproar, into a huge mob. So not only were they just getting people involved, they were getting their picket signs. Now, remember, you guys be careful with these. These are actually real spikes. This is going to stink. They were walking around saying, boo, Paul stinks. Now, if you guys are going to be part of a mob, you have to walk around and say, boo. Not too loud, okay? Keep saying it over and over. Even a little quieter. So they grabbed guys and they said, oh, guys, we hate Paul. We hate Paul. Everything that Paul is doing, like, oh, he is messing everything up. In fact, they started passing out signs saying, look, he's turning everything upside down. And then there were people that didn't even know what they were talking about. They would just go out and they were like, oh, look, it's a mob. And so here you have the Jews of the that were grabbing lewd fellows. They were grabbing fellows of the baser sort, and they said, boo, Paul, we hate Paul. And so much so that they got the entire city. That would be like if I grabbed everyone else in here and said, let's do an illustration. Everyone come up here. Don't do that. But if we grabbed every single person and we said, guys, there is our enemy. Paul is the enemy. Now, all you guys who just got saved, you can go find your seats. And Paul, you go find your seats. Because what happened is if you follow the story and if you follow the account, these guys were so mad, they were so upset that they went to go grab Paul and bring him to what's called the magistrate, what's called the guy that was in charge. But they couldn't even find Paul. The Bible says that they went and they grabbed Stephen. That was who Paul was staying with. It's basically like his roommate. They grabbed Stephen, Jason, sorry. They grabbed Jason and they brought him to the magistrates, and their entire argument was this. These who have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Did you catch that? Here's what these guys were saying. Everyone look. Paul is over here preaching, and he's preaching, and what is he doing? He's turning the entire world upside down. Now last night we said that means you're making everything weird. You're making everything opposite. You're making everything into craziness. That's what those guys were saying. But the truth of the matter is, every single person, whether they were over here, whether they were over here listening to Paul preach, though they weren't being turned upside down. The truth is, look up here, everybody look at me. They were already upside down. I mean, that's what we talked about last night. Remember, every single person, the moment you're born, you're separated from what God wanted you to be, from His standard, and you're born a sinner, and you're born upside down. You're born into your sin. It's not like somebody had to train you how to sin. Somebody had to train you how to be disrespectful, how to train you how to steal. It's all natural. Why? Because we're sinners. And every single person that was in that audience that day, they were already upside down. So the truth of the matter was, what they were saying was the opposite. Paul was not turning people upside down, but the message of the gospel was turning them, catch this, right side up. It was turning them the way they were supposed to be. Okay, thank you guys. You can just put the signs down and go back to your seat. I appreciate your help. Now guys, this is the most important part of the entire message. Because as Paul was over here preaching, what was he saying? Well, the Bible says that Paul reasoned with them out of the scripture that Christ must needs have suffered. It means Christ had to suffer. You say, wait, Brother AJ, you said last night that Jesus Christ was the only person who never sinned. He was the only person who never fell short of the glory of God. Yes. So then why did he have to suffer? Why did he have to be over here and suffer and die like all of the sinners? He did it in your place. Listen, he did it for every single person that was there, the chief women, the Jews, the Greeks. He did it for them because somebody had to die. It was either going to be them or it was going to be somebody who didn't have to die themselves. And Paul said, listen, Jesus Christ came and he suffered so that you wouldn't have to. And not only that, some people in the audience, especially those that were mad, could have said, oh, yeah, Jesus died, but a lot of people have died. In fact, whenever they killed Jesus, they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, and they would say, yeah, but a lot of people have even died that way. In fact, if you remember the story, there were two men, one on each side of Jesus, and they died the same way. So the fact that he died, that doesn't prove anything. And Paul would say, yes, exactly right. At the end of verse number 3, he says, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. I'm sorry, back up into the middle. And risen again from the dead. Risen from the dead. Now listen, that was the biggest difference. The difference between Jesus and between other people who died on the cross was that Jesus was the only one. Listen, not one of the ones. He was the only one who rose from the dead. Who rose from the dead. You know what that did? Have you ever tried telling someone, oh yeah, well my dad's bigger than your dad. Or boy, I could beat you up. But you know people that say that and there's no proof behind what they're saying? You're looking at them and they have chopstick arms. And you say, oh, you couldn't beat up anybody. There's no proof. There's no proof. But what Jesus did, whenever he died, he rose again from the dead. And what that did was that proved to everyone that he was God. That Jesus Christ was perfect. He was the only one who wasn't upside down in this world. And he came and he died so that you wouldn't have to. Now, does it make any sense that as Paul was up here and he's preaching and he's preaching and he's preaching and people are coming and they were getting saved? You say, Brother AJ, how did they get saved? Listen, the way they got saved was simply by this. Paul, everything you're saying is true. I agree with it. I believe, listen, everybody look up here. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was perfect, that he died, and that he rose again. That's how they got saved. Why would the Jews be mad about that? Why would the Jews who are over here be mad that people are getting saved? Listen, I'm almost done. The biggest reason they were getting mad was because their entire lives were being poured into earning salvation, into being right with God. And like we talked about last night, listen, it's not like you're so close to God, you just have to do one more good thing, and then you'll cross over and you'll be where you're supposed to be. No, the truth is if you're way over here, it doesn't matter how far you jump, it doesn't matter how far you leap, how far you reach out your hand, you can never reach where God is at. You can't do it. There's no amount of good works you can do. There's no amount of, well, I'm not going to sin today. I'm not going to sin today because you know what's going to happen? You keep going back to it. You keep going back to it. You say, I'm not going to sin anymore. No, and then you keep going back. You cannot earn salvation. And so for Paul to stand up here and to preach and to say, listen, salvation has already been earned. Jesus paid for your salvation, and now you can receive it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Listen, that's what it comes down to. You just have to believe it. You have to accept it. In Romans, it says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And listen, every single person in this room, whether or not you're young or you've lived your life and now you're in your adult years, sin has turned you upside down. And you'll find the longer you live, whether you're in first grade or whether you're in fifth grade or about to go into college, the truth is the longer you live, the more you see the effects of sin. And the truth is there is only one person who can turn your life right side up. There's only one person who can bring you back into a right relationship with God. And every single person that they were saying, no, Paul is turning their life upside down, the opposite was true. And the opposite would be true in your life as well. If you say, God, I know that I have sinned, and I don't want to pay for my sin. I don't want to spend an eternity in hell. I choose to accept your gift of salvation. And what he'll do is he'll turn your life right side up. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I don't want any...